Wake up!
This is Health on Earth.
Salud en la tierra.
Dinyan en salve.
Ilsaha fil alam.
Briyut fa olam.
Pour la santé sur la terre.
Gesund in welt.
Yinhong esai gai.
Afyan zuri duniani.
Saúd para todo mundo.
Man kwaet en dairak nai.
Prithivi monte shuri ne jokno.
Salamat dar jahan.
За ваше здоровье.
Тянкан сюдье.
А помудень у вас асесо.
Здоровье на земле.
La salute su terra.
Health on earth.
Did you get vaccinated?
Not yet, but I will soon.
And which one are you getting?
I'm getting the dance vaccine.
The dance vaccine? Great idea.
Yeah, rehearsing with the girls is what I miss the most.
Well, it's going to be the soccer vaccine for me. I can't wait to see the gang again.
Each vaccination brings us closer to these moments. Follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is François. It is currently 8:31 p.m. and I will be your host for tonight. For tonight's show, we'll talk about the coronavirus. Earlier today as well, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had a press conference discussing about the state of coronavirus in the country. Here's what he had to say.
Vaccinated.
Have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And that number is going to keep going up fast because millions more doses are coming. We now rank number 3 in the G20 on doses administered per capita. It's clear that working together as one big Team Canada is paying off. To all of our healthcare staffs at hospitals, pharmacies, and vaccination centers, thank you for being part of this historic effort. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. We're all so deeply grateful. And to everyone who's now eligible to book a first dose, we're all counting on you. Make sure you get your shot when you can. If we all do our part, if we get vaccinated and continue following public health guidelines, we will have a much better summer and we will get through this crisis once and for all. There are lots of reasons to be hopeful, but that doesn't mean we can let our guard down yet. In a number of places, we're still facing a very serious third wave. Last Friday, I reached out to Premier Pallister about the extremely concerning situation in Manitoba. I also had a call with Mayor Brian Bowman of Winnipeg. I let them both know that the federal government is ready to do whatever it takes to keep Manitobans and all Canadians safe. As soon as a province asks for more assistance, we're there to help. That's why, in anticipation of Manitoba's official request for additional support to manage the situation, we're preparing to deploy federal health human resources. We're also looking at deploying medical staff through the Canadian Red Cross and sending support from the Canadian Armed Forces. In just a few moments, Minister Carr will speak more about additional support for Manitoba and what we're already doing in the province. Since the beginning of this crisis, our government has worked closely with all provinces and territories to make sure everyone is safe. And as long as this pandemic lasts, that's exactly what we're going to continue to do.
This Thursday, we will be holding another meeting of all provincial and territorial premiers. We will first talk about the measures that we need to take to end this third wave, and right now that has to be our number one priority. We will also talk about the various reopening plans. The premiers around the table will have the opportunity to share their experience about what is working well across the country. And on that note, as we are gradually reopening, we have to not let our guard down. The number of new cases has to be brought as low see a loosening of restrictions where it is safe to do so, but we have to remain responsible. Everyone has to do their part. You need to continue to follow local health restrictions and get your vaccination as soon as you can. If we do all this together, we will have a better summer. We will be able to see our friends on the patios, and we will be able to eventually get through this crisis. Today, I also want to take a moment to mark the first anniversary of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, United States. We all remember the horrible images of that murder that scandalized and changed the world.
And it was a reminder that there are still too many people living with anti-Black racism and injustice, including here in Canada. Last summer, Canadians, and especially young people, marched to demand change. From economic empowerment through the Black Entrepreneurship Program to proposing to remove ineffective mandatory minimums from the criminal code to historic investments in community organizations, our government is working with Black communities across the country to make sure nobody is left behind. We will continue to take real action to fight systemic racism and create more opportunities for Black Canadians and for everyone. Before I end, I'd like to say a few words about the arrest of the Belarusian journalist Roman Protasevich over the weekend. The behavior of the Belarus regime is outrageous, illegal, and completely unacceptable. This was a clear attack on democracy and on the freedom of the press. We condemn it and call for his immediate release. We also condemn this kind of dangerous interference in civil aviation. Canada has existing sanctions in place against Belarus and will be examining further options. We also strongly support action through all available international institutions, including the International Civil Aviation Organization, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, and NATO. We stand in solidarity with our partners in defending journalists all around the globe. Merci.
Thank you. I will now give the floor to Minister Carr. Jim?
I want to begin by acknowledging that I'm joining you from the traditional Treaty One territory of the Anishinaabe people and the homeland of the Métis Nation. The COVID-19 situation here in Manitoba is serious. We are experiencing surges, more variants of concern, and climbing ICU rates. Our healthcare system is reaching its limit. To our essential workers, I want to say thank you. To the exhausted nurses, doctors, and other hospital staff who have been on the front lines of this latest surge, you have the gratitude and respect of our entire province. Teachers, custodians, grocery store workers, public transit operators, you've kept life going for us. You keep stepping up. Thank you. Across our province, we are feeling frustrated. Sometimes we even feel angry. We're exhausted by this virus. We've endured a first, second, and now third wave of lockdowns, of business closures, active case counts, and most tragically, lives lost. If you've lost your job or are anxious that you might lose it, if you've had to close down your business, this new surge in the virus may feel crushing. And in light of the current situation, today, departments and agencies across the federal government have again come together to support the government of Manitoba and the people of our province. In response to the recent request from the government of Manitoba, the government of Canada is preparing to deploy additional federal health resources, including medical staff to the Canadian Red Cross and the Canadian Armed Forces. The armed forces will support vaccine rollout in 23 Indigenous communities in Manitoba. And we are also providing 50 additional interviewers to do contact tracing across the province. The Government of Canada is also prepared to deploy epidemiologists, lab technicians, and increase testing capacity from the Public Health Agency of Canada and Health Canada to respond to needs identified by Manitobans. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have responded to all 17 requests for federal assistance for Manitoba. The National Emergency Strategic Stockpile has allocated over 37 million units of personal protective equipment, vaccine ancillary supplies, and other medical equipment to Manitoba, including nitrile gloves, disposable gowns, face shields, N95 respirators, and surgical masks. Manitoba has requested additional biomedical equipment, which the NESS expects to be able to supply. I would like to thank municipal leaders, such as Winnipeg Mayor Brian Bowman, for their leadership, and to Premier Pallister for his cooperation. We all share a common goal, keeping Manitobans safe and building back better and strong as quickly as possible. For the Manitobans who are watching this update, stay home if you can, get vaccinated, and encourage the people you care about to do the same. There is hope. More Manitobans are getting vaccinated every day. Canada is in the top three countries of the G20 delivering daily vaccinations. It's up to us to stay vigilant, follow public health guidelines to drive case numbers down. Get vaccinated. As the Prime Minister has said, the federal government will do what it takes for as long as it takes to keep Manitobans and all Canadians safe. Thank you. Dr. Tam, over to you.
Thank you. And bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning.
Nationally, prior to the long weekend, we were seeing strong and steady declines in disease trends. And data after the long weekend will tell us whether these trends continue. The latest seven-day average of 5,000 or fewer new cases reported daily is 40% lower than the peak of activity in mid-April. The number of people experiencing severe and critical illness is also decreasing as overall infection rates come down. The latest seven-day average for the number of people with COVID-19 being treated in our hospitals each day has dropped by 20% since peak activity to about 3,400 daily. Of these, on average, of about 1,300 were being treated in intensive care units, which has dropped 10% since the peak, and average daily deaths are down 15% to 41 deaths being reported daily. With 4.5 million COVID-19 vaccine doses delivered before the long weekend, and Canadians continuing to roll up their sleeves as vaccination clinics expand across the country, our fastest moving trend is happily that of vaccination coverage. Last Friday, we reached the milestone of 20 million people having received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine to date. This number is increasing fast. To continue to make the progress we need, each of us has a key role to play on the vaccine runway. By getting vaccinated as soon as we're able and keeping up with essential precautions, such as masking and spacing, we can sustain our strong and steady progress while more vaccines roll out to help us bring this curve in for a landing. Regardless of your vaccination status, following the advice of your local public health authority, choosing lower risk activities and settings, and keeping up with essential precautions will help protect the progress we've made and set us up for a better summer while we get our health in order for a safer fall. We've been asked to do a lot to protect each other, and it would be great if we could say that this was the last wave we've ever need to worry about. But until the infection rate is well and truly down, we can't regain the upper hand and get our public health, laboratory, and health capacity back on top and ready for the fall. If we can continue cautiously for the summer, while immunity is building across the country, we'll be able to re-establish proactive capacity for laboratory testing, genomic sequencing, case investigation, and contact tracing to interrupt the spread at source. Working together, we can end this pandemic and get back to the connections and activities that enrich our social and economic life and well-being in Canada. Thank you.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning, everyone. Across the country, before the long weekend, we all saw an important decline in case numbers and the trends. And we will see after the long weekend whether these trends continue. Five new cases 5,000 cases are being reported every day, and this is much lower than what we saw in mid-April by about 40%. And we also find that hospitalizations are going down as vaccinations are going up. And so we find that every day we have seen a decline, which now amounts to 20% since compared with mid-April. We have about 3,400 people in our ICUs, which is a 10% decrease compared with April, and we have now 41 people on average dying every day, which is 15% lower. We know that Canadians are continuing to roll up their sleeves as vaccination clinics expand across the country. Our fastest moving trend is happily that of vaccination coverage. And last Friday, we reached the milestone of 20 million people having received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine to date. This number is increasing fast. To continue to make the progress we need, each of us has a key role to play on the vaccine's runway. By getting vaccinated as soon as we are able and keeping up with essential precautions such as masking and spacing, we can sustain our strong and steady progress while more vaccines roll out will help us bring this curve in for a landing. Regardless of your vaccination status, following the advice of your local public health authority, choosing lower risk activities and settings, and keeping up with essential precautions will help protect the progress we've made and set us up for a better summer while we get our house in order for a safer fall. We've been asked to do a lot to protect each other, and it would be great if we could say that this was the last wave we ever need to worry about. But until the infection rate is well and truly down, we can't regain the upper hand and get our public health, laboratory, and health capacity back on top and ready for the fall. If we can continue cautiously through the summer while immunity is building across the country, we'll be able to reestablish proactive capacity for laboratory testing, genomic sequencing, case investigation, and contact tracing to interrupt the spread at source. Working together, we can end this pandemic and get back to the connections and activities that enrich our social and economic life and our well-being in Canada. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ngu. The Prime Minister will be taking three questions on the phone, one question, one follow-up. Same for reporters in the room. Ministers and doctor will remain available for 15 minutes afterward to answer more questions. Merci, Dr. Ngu. Le Premier ministre va prendre trois questions au téléphone, une question, une sous-question. Même chose pour les journalistes dans la salle. Les ministres et docteurs demeureront disponibles pour 15 minutes par la suite pour répondre à plus de questions. Opératrice, c'est à vous.
Thank you. Merci. Please press star one at this time if you have a question. S'il vous plaît, appuyez sur étoile 1 maintenant pour poser une question. La première question, Catherine Lévesque, La Presse canadienne. Your line is open. À vous la parole.
Oui, bonjour, Monsieur Trudeau.
Good morning, Mr. Trudeau. I would like to come back to what you said last week about the Constitution and the fact that Quebec wants to change it, because that created a lot of concern and fear, especially in English Canada. So I would like to ask you to clarify your remarks. Do you agree that Quebec is a nation and French is its official language? Answer. For a long time, the federal government has recognized that we have two official languages, but that Quebec has a special role to play in protecting French in Quebec, and we continue with that view. However, we do also intend to ensure protection of official language minority groups across the country, including Anglophones in Quebec. We will defend those minorities' rights. With respect to Quebec being a nation, I have stated for a long time that Quebec does form a nation It is a province that I have long recognized that French is its official language. Catherine, question. I want to come back to what was confirmed last week. And I want to know whether your government is going to intervene to protect that Canadian citizen. If we receive an extradition request from France, we will certainly respond as we should.
Extradition request from Quebec, that'll be, sorry, if we receive a an extradition request from France, we will, of course, analyze it with the full rigor that Canadians expect us to.
Thank you. Operator, next question on the phone.
Thank you. Merci. La prochaine question. The next question, Dylan Robertson, Winnipeg Free Press. Your line is open. Avez la parole.
Good morning, Prime Minister. What do you think the need for federal support in Manitoba's ICU says about the provincial government's planning, preparedness, and response for the third wave of the pandemic, given what we saw in the weeks in other provinces from the impact of this wave?
Thanks, Dylan. Obviously, we are deeply concerned about the situation facing Manitoba, which is why I reached out to the Premier and the Mayor of Winnipeg on Friday to talk about what more we could do. As I said, we stand by to send more support, whether it's through the Red Cross, whether it's through the Canadian Armed Forces, whether it's frontline workers. My job as a federal leader is to be there to support Canadians in every corner of the country, not to judge how provinces have managed it. It's simply to be there to put the interests of Canadians first, and that's what we will always do. Jim, do you want to follow up on that?
Prime Minister, we're squarely focused on the needs of Manitobans, and when the request comes from the provincial government, we have been there to respond and to respond quickly, whether it's adding vaccination capacity within First Nations, adding more epidemiologists, more public health officials through the Red Cross and the Canadian Armed Forces. We respond to the changing needs within the province as expressed by the Premier and by public health professionals. We have been here for the people of Manitoba, and that's the focus of our attention. And that's why we are making these further announcements today.
Following up, Dylan.
Prime Minister, the Manitoba Premier says North Dakota wants to share vaccines with the province, but it's being blocked by the Biden administration. Do you share that understanding? And is our ambassador to Washington advocating to make this happen?
We have been, since the beginning of this pandemic, working with partners around the world, including the United States, to ensure that we get through this as quickly as possible. The conversations continue, including at the level of our ambassador in Washington. We will continue to try and make sure that we're getting Canadians vaccinated as quickly as possible so we can get through this and get life back to normal, and as well turn even more efforts to helping the world get through this, because we don't end this pandemic anywhere until we end it everywhere.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have worked with our partners around the world, including the United States, on the need to get Canadians vaccinated as quickly as possible, and we continue to work with our partners in the United States, in particular through our wonderful ambassador to Washington, and we are making every effort to get everyone vaccinated as quickly as possible so that we can get back to a normal life and so that we can help people around the world, because we know that the pandemic will not be over anywhere until it is over everyone.
Thank you. Merci. La prochaine question, our next question, Hélène Bizetti, Les Coop de l'Information. Your line is open. A vous la parole.
Oui, bonjour, Monsieur Trudeau. J'aimerais
Good morning, Mr. Trudeau. I want to come back to this issue of the Constitution, because last week your remarks were criticized by many in the country, especially outside Quebec, and in the Globe and Mail, there was mention of that. It seems like this clause about Quebec being a nation can be interpreted differently and applied to other aspects of the Constitution. At least that's the fear. And I would like to know what you think about that fear. I don't share that interpretation. Answer. Hélène, question. Okay. Perhaps you could give a little bit more detail. You don't think that there is any risk. Some people also are concerned about the Anglophone minority in Quebec and feeling that you are abandoning them and that French as the official language of Quebec could be interpreted as meaning that Quebec Anglophones' rights won't be respected. Answer. As I have said, we will always be there to defend minority rights in Canada, including those of Anglophones in Quebec. We know, though, that Quebec needs to take steps to protect French, and we are working with others, including the provinces, to protect language rights.
Glenn McGregor, CTV News. Prime Minister, you said repeatedly you don't want to have an election campaign during the pandemic. Will you commit now to not going to see the Governor General, whether interim Governor General or permanent appointment, unless the House of Commons has voted a lack of confidence in you until the point that the World Health Organization declares the pandemic over?
As I've said, it has been one of the strengths of this country that political parties, that across different orders of government and indeed within Parliament and assemblies have been able to work together to get unprecedented support out to Canadians. I made a promise from the very beginning that we would have Canadians' backs no matter what it took for as long as it took to get through this pandemic, and that has worked. And by and large, other parties have supported that. We have seen, however, that we need to continue to have a well-functioning parliament so that we can continue to get support out to Canadians. And that is very much my focus. Nobody wants an election before the end of this pandemic. And we certainly hope to be able to continue to deliver all the helps that we promised to Canadians without over interference by opposition parties.
Since the beginning of this pandemic, we have promised that we would do everything necessary to support Canadians regardless of how long the pandemic lasted. We have been fortunate in Canada that all of the political parties across the countries and here in the federal parliament have been able to work together to put in place support measures. But the pandemic is not over. We still need to deliver assistance to help Canadians get through the pandemic. And I hope that the opposition parties will provide their constructive support for that. But we will work on that. And we know that nobody wants an election before the end of the pandemic, because the pandemic is our priority.
Hello, Mr. Trudeau, Man Hamidi with the Canadian Press. What assurances or documents do you have that Moderna is actually going to be delivering on their contract, considering that they're supposed to be the workhorse of our vaccine campaign this summer? Has Moderna been clear about what's causing the delays?
Actually, I would argue that Pfizer has actually been the reliable workhorse of our vaccinations. They have continued to deliver, although Moderna, particularly in the early months, being able to deliver so many doses to the Arctic and to remote Indigenous communities made a huge difference in preventing further outbreaks up in the north. We are very fortunate as a country to have had so many different deals with so many different countries, companies to allow for the position we are in right now, where more than half of Canadians have had at least one dose of a vaccine. That is what is going to get us through this. But on for further comments on vaccination schedules, I will turn to Minister Anand.
And this is all for today. Once again, my name was Francois, and you were listening to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up is Hotel du Blues. Have a good night.
Good evening. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. I'm your host, Vishwa Ramakrishnan, playing for you some of my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. To get tonight's program started off, here is Joanna Connor playing I Feel So Good.